Welcome to the Scoutery Podcast. My name is Matt Hofer. I'm the CEO and founder of Scoutery, the worldwide eye on basketball talent. We are a global scouting consultancy.
Welcome to another edition of the Scoutery Podcast, the second ever edition to be exact. It's been a while since episode number one. We promised a lot more regularity, but you know how things go with promises sometimes. So here we are again, finally. The summer is over. Eurobasket was fantastic, but now it's on to club competitions. We are bringing you a roundup of what happened in European pro basketball, men's basketball for now, during the first real week of the 22-23 season. So let's get right into the mix of things. So what happened during this first week of basketball action all across Europe? First of all, we had the BCL qualifiers. So we know now which four teams are going through to the FIBA Basketball Champions League group stage. Unicaja Malaga is one of them. Not really a big surprise. They boast a 12-deep ACB level roster with tons of experience. You have players like Kendrick Perry, Tyson Carter, Tyler Kalinowski, Melvin Ejim, Will Thomas, Nijat Jedovic, Dylan Ossetkowski, David Kravish. So it was not really super astonishing that they managed to dismantle both their opponents. They blew out Heroes Den Bosch from Holland, and they also got past Levice from Slovakia with relative ease. So no surprises there. Tofas Bursa from Turkey, they had a bit more trouble making it. They also have quite an expensive roster. Their guard duo, Rob Gray, Tyler Ennis. They signed Boubacar Touré from Rouen, Pro A France. They were still missing Kyrie Thomas. They got a bit lucky against the Niners Chemnitz, I would say. Chemnitz was on the front foot for most of the game, and in the end, they sort of threw it away a little bit in crunch time. But Bursa got through, but not nearly as commanding as Unicaja, for example. Depth in this on this Tofas roster is still a bit of a question mark, in my opinion. They signed Cecil Williams, who played in Romania last year from Dinamo Bucharest. Interesting player, sort of a physical wing type, but he didn't do much during this tournament, and I'm not yet 100% sure that he's on the level that a team with the ambitions of Tofas would like. Benfica, surprise winner number one, I would say. Very experienced squad full of veteran players. You have former NBA double-digit scorer Tony Douglas. You have Ivan Almeida, Aaron Broussard, Tunisian center Makrem Benramdan. And they managed to hold off Borussia Bamberg from Germany, from BBL. Almeida, he went off in that game. He had 39 points and 8 rebounds. He hit 9 threes. He was unstoppable. They did not find an answer for him all night. And with Bamberg, I think they are faced with some issues in this early stage of the season. They looked very dependent on the scoring of Justin Wright Foreman, who had a very good two games, or he had an amazing game in the first game against Budi Velnik from Ukraine. And in the second game, he was still good, but not as transcendent, I would say. And immediately, Bamberg was in trouble because they don't have much firepower aside from him. Maybe Jaromír Boháčik, the veteran from Czech Republic, who can make threes, obviously, who's a smart player. But other than that, I don't know. There's Chachashvili, the big man, but he's still young. Excellent switch defender. You can see that already, but he's still a bit green, I would say. And And other than that, you have Amir Bell, who's a good defender at the guard spots, but does not provide that much offense. So we'll see. We'll see. But for now, I think this tournament was a disappointment for them. They barely got past the Budi Velnik. They almost got Beherni Meskeld in that game. But Wright Foreman carried them to the qualifier final. But Benfica was too much for them. Surprise qualifier number two would be Bakken Bears from Denmark. But not really a surprise to us, because we have rated their roster very highly. I think they will dominate in Denmark, obviously. Nobody's going to have an answer for them there. And in Belgrade, they beat a very good FMP team, a team that had upset Breohan from ACB Spain beforehand. And they beat them, not comfortably, but decisively in the end. They have a couple of really interesting, intriguing additions. They have Tony Carr, who looked like the NBA prospect that he was coming out of Penn State. Great size at the one and the two. Finished with 34-5-9 versus FMP. So, definitely an indicator of things to come. They have Deng Adel at the wing. Skylar Bolin, who brings veteran leadership and just high IQ. Ryan Evans, who's been there for a while, can knock down the mid-range. They're deep. And they are very tall. They can play with a lineup that is like 6'5 and up. So Bakken Bears are, I think, a force to be reckoned with. So on to the FIBA Europe Cup qualifiers. They are still ongoing at the time of recording. So just some major upsets and standout performances. It was interesting to see that Portugal actually made it 2-0 versus Easy Credit BBL Germany teams, with Sporting beating BG Göttingen. That was surprising, because normally you would say that the league level of the Portuguese league is inferior to BBL Germany, but the top teams can definitely hang, and even more. Marcus Levet was instrumental. He had 25 points. We will talk about him later on when we discuss Portugal in more detail. Trevante Williams, versatile two-way wing type of player, 18-6-3. For Göttingen, Mark Smith looked great. Forward out of Kansas State, rookie, had 20-10. They had some issues with their playmaking. I think I remember several 8-second calls when they were unable to advance the ball from the backcourt. So this needs some adjustments still. Standout performance, DiMaggio Wiggins, former Bowling Green big man. He had 19-16. For Rilski from Samokov in Bulgaria. They upset BC Wolves from Lithuania. And DiMaggio Wiggins, the player we've highlighted a couple of times already. During the summertime, we had him on our recommendations list for quite a few of our clients. And definitely one to follow. Has good size at the five, quite mobile. He's one who will make some noise in the upcoming years. And also from a character standpoint, wants to learn, is humble, understands the logic of career planning and stuff. So he's one to look out for. Another big that came to our attention, or that already had our attention, but he really stood out as well, was Bryson Gresham. Defensive-minded, big, great athlete, rim runner, offers shot blocking, had 17-8 and 2 blocks in the loss versus Antwerp. if you're on Twitter, you might want to take a look at the content provided by Manolo77. I think he also has a video scouting report on Grisham, and his stuff is always excellent. So let's go take a look at that. But he's one to look out for during the regular season in Cyprus as well. Another surprising result, Beşiktaş getting their asses kicked by Cholet, 93-62. There were some concerning signs of disintegration when it comes to the body language of some of the Beşiktaş players, I think. They are highly talented. They signed a number of very talented rookies. Jordan Usher, for example, but not only him, also Matt Coleman, who's not a rookie per se. I think he played in the G League before, but he's a European rookie. Also a player that I really like, but most of them are in for their first European experience, and it shows, and Cholet dominated them. Let's move on to some of the domestic leagues. We're going to go through them alphabetically. I'm going to start in Denmark with Basketligaen. Already mentioned that I wish all the other teams good luck with trying to dethrone Bakken Bears. It will not be easy, and I think it won't be feasible, to be honest. They're too far away when it comes to budget and roster. From the first couple of games, there's a guard trio with Team Fogg Næstved, comprised of Mike McGurl, who was at Kansas State last year, finished out his collegiate career, and Rodney Chatman, who was the point guard for Vanderbilt and for Dayton before that, and former Wake Forest guard Ian DuBose. Those guys, they are tough to handle as a backcourt on the Basketligaen level. They combined for 68 points in their first outing, and I think the tally was similar in their second game. They won both games. These guys are good, and they are also, I think it didn't show so far because they allowed quite some scoring, but they should be down the stretch when the going gets tougher, when they play some of the top teams. They should be good defensively as well, because McGurl, I think, was one of the outstanding on-ball defenders last year in college basketball. Chatman also struck me as somebody who can keep opponents in front of him. And Ian DuBose is very physical, good rebounder at the guard spots. So those three, I like this setup. Let's move up a little bit in terms of the league quality. Let's take a look at ACB, Liga Endesa. There was the Supercopa Endesa with the Real Madrid win in overtime versus FC Barcelona. It was a fun game to watch. Still some rust on both teams, but that's happening. First real competitive game of the season. Eddie Tavares was dominant with 24 and 12. And Canan Musa, he looked like a seamless fit with Real. He really stood out. And was a good appetizer for what's about to come in Liga Endesa, but also in Euroleague later on, of course. There was some commotion about the new rules, or the new rule, I should say. I don't know if you heard yet, but they're experimenting with a rule where you can inbound directly without having to hand over the ball to the referee, either baseline inbounds, but also sideline inbounds. It's interesting. I mean, I'm not 100% sure yet whether I like it or not. From the reactions that I saw on social media, the players almost unanimously dislike it. But I think, given some time, this might turn out to be to be interesting at least. Of course, it makes the game a lot quicker, even quicker. We'll see what's happening. I haven't made up my mind yet about whether I like it or not. Then there was the ACB opener. Was a lot closer than expected. Girona played at home after moving up from Leb Gold. Hosted Real Madrid. Marc Gasol was spectacular. 21-7-7. The man just doesn't age. It's unbelievable. And also a friend of the show, I would say. No, but a player that we've been following for a very long time and we've always been very high on, Cameron Taylor. He had a very good debut for Girona. Finished with 22-5-6 and looked really up to it. And he's one that we will definitely highlight a couple of times during the season. He's traditional scoutery darling because he made his way up all the way from being at a small D2 and then not even starting in Pro A Germany. And now he's in ACB. He was at Maccabi Tel Aviv. He was in Pro A France. So has had quite the career, and also has the character that would allow him to embark on a path like this. Canan Musa was figuring prominently again. He in crunch time, he silenced the crowd, first of all with a late three and then also with the fitting gesture. But he apologized immediately to the public. And Mario Hezonja had a good game too. Those Real Madrid signings, they look quite adept early on. We'll see. Of course, for Real Madrid, it's always the most challenging part is always how they're going to perform in EuroLeague, obviously. Moving on to France, to Betclic Elite. It was a wild start to the season in the top flight in France. The league table after two rounds looks interesting, to say the least. You have Blois, the newcomers from Pro B. You have them at the top of the table with a 2-0 record. And down at the bottom, you have Limoges, you have Strasbourg, you have Paris Basketball, and most surprisingly, you have ASVEL, the EuroLeague participants, all starting the season 0-2. So, France is known for a huge amount of parity, and everybody can basically beat everybody, but this still is not what would have been expected. ASVEL, they are struggling. Their new backcourt of Jonah Matthews, who came over from dominating the Polish league, Parker Jackson Cartwright, Easy Credit BBL MVP in Germany, and Retin Obasoan, who played in Israel last year. They combined for 16 points against Blois, which is not a lot, obviously. And it shows that they have to adapt to the level. But we are still firm believers. We sang the praises of Matthews and Jackson Cartwright, especially Matthews, pretty much all year. And we're still on the bandwagon, so don't worry about that. But it's an adaptation process, to say the least. More positive news for Scoutery. Another Scoutery darling, Matt Morgan, who lit the TBL Turkey on fire last year, who was uber dominant, I would say, in Turkey, but in the second division in Turkey. He's averaging 19-3 for MSB Le Mans, and with good percentages, and they are 2-0. So for him, the move to France has been a smooth one so far. Some other noteworthy player performances: Thomas Cornelie, the point guard of Blois. He's 31 years old and he's never played in Pro A before. He's always been in Pro B, even in NM1, which is National 1, so the third league. He's averaging 14.5 points per game, 6 assists through 2 games. So yeah, for him, it's just nice to see that a veteran at that age can just seamlessly fit in with a side that is winning games in Pro A. There's a new attraction to the league as well. You have Roberto Gallinat. I think he went to college at Pacific, if I'm not mistaken. But he's a newcomer with Nancy, team that moved up from Pro B. And yeah, I mean, he can get up. I mean, he had a dunk that I saw versus Monaco, the EuroLeague team. Ooh, that was filthy. That was filthy. He had 25 points. Still not overly consistent yet. That was also his issue in Turkey a little bit last season when he played at BSL. But still, I mean, he will fill up the bleachers. That's for sure. Kyle Foster had a very good start to the season for Rouen. Played his college ball at Howard in the MEAC. So he's a HBCU alum. I must admit, we didn't really have him on our radar that much. But he's been killing it from three-point land so far. 7 of 10 from 3 in 2 games. And also, he showed that he's an elite sniper already in preseason when he had a couple of ridiculous games where he just couldn't miss. So I don't know. It doesn't seem to be a fluke. I think the man's for real. And yeah, he's one to watch as well. Then of course you have like the attraction, the main event of the entire league, Victor Wembanyama, probable number one pick of the 2023 draft. He signed with the Levallois. And I think he has received some guarantees from the organization that he will basically not leave the court if he's not injured or in foul trouble, and he can do whatever he wants. They allow him to do whatever he wants, and yeah, he looks like a generated player on some video game. I mean, he's averaging close to 17 points per game, 9 rebounds, 2 assists so far, and I mean he's 7'3". And the mobility that he has at that height, it's incredible. It doesn't look real, to be honest. Last one that I'm going to mention is Jordan Floyd. He signed with Bourg-en-Bresse, a team that traditionally does a good job scouting, in my opinion. I think they are following the market very closely and comprehensively. He had 41 against Paris, against the backcourt that is made up of Kyle Almon and Tyrone Wallace. Tyrone Wallace of LA Clipper fame, so not really pushovers that he played against, but yeah, 41. He's been a big time scorer all his career, averaged 32 in D2 and 24 points per game in A2 Italy. So yeah, he's a traditional bucket getter. Then a quick detour to Pro B in France, to the Leaders Cup, which is sort of a bit of a glorified preseason tournament, but in which all the clubs participate. And yeah, we have to mention one of our recommendations of the summer for Vichy Clermont, club that we work with, head coach Guillaume Vizade. And yeah, he brought in Trey Boyd, played his college ball at ETSU, and was in TBL USA just a year ago, so on a minor league level. And yeah, he has taken Europe, and not only Europe, because he was in New Zealand in the meantime as well. He has taken pro basketball by storm. He killed the leagues in Finland, the second league, and then he moved on to the first league during the season. Did the same in New Zealand with NBL, and now he's looking like a great get for Vichy. He had 36 points against Boulazac, team with a much higher budget in Pro B. and it looks so effortless. I mean, he just, if he's on from 3-point range, good luck, good luck, because he can just pull up from anywhere. And he also has great court vision. Needs to figure out decision making at time, because I mean, that's a learning curve coming from TBL and playing on this level now. But yeah, he's one to watch. He's one to watch. And he's a lefty, which makes it even more aesthetically pleasing, in my opinion. So yeah, keep the name in mind, Trey Boyd. Okay, let's continue with my native country, Germany. We had the BBL opener last night. Alba Berlin hosting Hamburg Towers, another one of the teams that we work with. Was a bit of a lucky win for Alba, I would say. They looked quite a bit rusty, had a couple of players missing. Maodo Lo, for example, was not playing. Johannes Thiemann also. For rotational purposes, that's what the press release said prior to tip-off. One could argue that the best Alba player was Slovenian point guard Ziga Samar, but he's playing with Hamburg this year because they loaned him out to Towers. He looked excellent, so poised, and can't be rushed, pick-and-roll artist. And very young, at a very young age, so he's definitely a good pickup for them. Yoeli Childs looked good as a rim running center, although he was instrumental in losing the game at the end because he had a couple of costly turnovers, but he kept them in beforehand. I think he finished with 18-7, but yeah, Towers look fine. I think they can build on this performance, even though they also might be a bit frustrated because it could have started the season with an upset at the current champions. Moving over to Israel, they have the League Cup ongoing right now, and the first finalist will be Hapoel Tel Aviv. They continue their recent renaissance, and Xavier Munford, who they signed from NBL Australia, he looked good. He's a good player. He's not that young anymore now. I think he was born in 92, so he's a known commodity, but yeah, still a good one. Saw Maccabi Tel Aviv play once against Galil Gilboa. Bonsi Colson fits in very well, but that's not a surprise. He's a terrific player. I was intrigued with Galil Gilboa's trio of signings. Rashard Adoms, who came over from Portugal, very athletic lefty wing. Justin Gorham, who I was very familiar with because he played with the Telekom Baskets Bonn in Germany, one of the better offensive rebounders around. And Peyton Willis, a player that had offers from Germany that I definitely recommended to a couple of clubs, but he decided to go to Israel for probably better money. And but he looks sharp. He looks sharp. Those three combined for 60 points against Maccabi. So definitely looking like good signings. Last one to mention, Kadeen Carrington, who signed with Hapoel Jerusalem, and he also has a mid-season shape already, apparently. Moving on to a much smaller market, Kosovo, Superliga. I think Superliga was the first league to start in Europe, all over Europe. So we have two teams with 3-0 records already, Pija and Trepča. Probably mispronounced this terribly, but doing my best. And then the two of the players that have stood out for Peja, Rodney Purvis, former UConn guard, and Jalen Tate, who had a brief stint in Germany last year with Gießen, which finished quite in a bit of turmoil, I would say. But yeah, you can see he's talented. That's for sure. Versatile player. And a rookie standout that I want to mention, Chris Seeley, played D2 ball in California. Transfer from Fresno State, where he didn't get that much playing time. I think he's interesting. He's with Rahovici. Another name that I probably butchered, but yeah. Modern power forward, athletic, can block shots, dangerous from three. I think his mechanics look really good. So he's one to follow. If I were a team with a budget in the, I don't know, 3K, 3-4K a month range, I would follow this guy. Moving northbound to Lithuania. LKL looks really, really intriguing this year. All games have been very close so far, or I think nearly all games. There seems to be a lot of parity, so it should be an entertaining year. Yeah, welcome first of all to BC Wolves Vilnius, entirely new team. I think they took the license from Dzūkija, if I'm not mistaken, and so they are trying to establish themselves as the second power. Opposite BC Rytas, of course. Matt Caver, who they brought over from the G League, he looks like a player. Physical guard, decent size, good vision, very quick first step, although he goes right all the time, but still hard to guard. So he's one that I'm definitely keen on following. And you have the ageless wonder, number two, after Mark Gasol, Mindaugas Lukauskis, who had 24 points in 26 minutes in their season opener and at age 43. I think he's the only player on the pro level older than me right now, which is depressing, but which might be the truth. I also saw parts of a highly entertaining game between BC Rytas and Juventus. Alex Hamilton signed there. He's very talented, but also a bit enigmatic guard who has experienced a couple of higher level European leagues. They also have Justin Alston, big man, and Juwan Evans, former NBA prospect, Oklahoma State alum. And it was actually Juwan Evans who tied the game in the closing stages with an acrobatic N1 layup, and the crowd was rocking. But in the end, Rytas pulled off the win, 90-88, but that was entertaining. Žalgiris, they beat Neptunas, but not very comfortably. Kavarius Hayes, Keenan Evans, Ignas Brazdaikis, their new signings, they all looked solid. And for Neptunas, it was Matas Jogela, a player that we've highlighted a couple of times, versatile forward, wing type. He had 13-3-4 and very efficient. So yeah, he confirmed our appreciation for him. Next in line, Luxembourg, the Total League. It's not because it's totally bonkers or whatever. It's for sponsorship reasons, of course, but the oil company. Just mentioning three players that stood out while admittedly only watching clips, not the full games, but James Overton, Weber State. I thought that he was a very good signing when they announced it, and he's absolutely confirmed that. Had 33-9. He's a lefty wing, can isolate, can face up, likes to use spin moves when going to the lane. So he's a player. He's just a player. You can see that already. Grant Dressler is back in action. Was good in Pro A with Leverkusen 2 years ago, I think. Then I think he didn't play last year, and now he's back, and he had 27-12-4. I think Luxembourg is a great league for him because he's so versatile. He can do so many things. He's a smart player, can basically play positions 1 through 4, and yeah, he will be good for that league. Edmar Kiel Smith, former 27-point scorer at West Georgia in D2, he had he did what he's good at. He scored the basketball, had 34, 11, and 2 in his debut in Luxembourg. PLK Poland. MKSDG. I will not even attempt to pronounce the full name of the club because I will murder it anyway. They have signed a very interesting import trio. Joe Chile played in the G League for a couple of years. Alonzo Verge, he was a standout at the Portsmouth Invitational. Got to experience him firsthand there. Super quick player with a lot of flair. Of course, also with the occasional stupid turnover, but he's definitely a charismatic player. He might be one to watch in upcoming years. On the verge of a great pro career, pun intended. And he looked a lot of like he had a lot of good, bad, and ugly in his first game, but he will definitely be a challenge for opponents in PLK. And they also signed Trevon Bluyet, who was in Germany, who split time between Turkey and Germany last year. And those three combined for 58 points in their first win. You have another ageless wonder, Damian Kulik. He had 20-9 for Stahl. He only missed one shot at 35 years old. Generally, it was the first week was highlighted by local players, by Polish players. Mikolaj Wydliński had a very good game for Czarny. And Lukasz Kolenda, he was very good for Śląsk. So, the Polish players, they managed to transfer the euphoria from their great European or Eurobasket experience to the domestic league, it seems. And for Start Lublin, it was Sharon Dorsey Walker, who had 33-6, and the Cleveland Melvin, another PLK veteran, who had 25-3. Dorsey Walker is a player that I've always been wondering why he has never played. I mean, no offense to the PLK, it's a good league, but I think Dorsey Walker should have played at an even higher level because he has a lot going for him in terms of having good size at the guard spots, being able to initiate pick and roll, being a good athlete, solid enough outside shooter, good body. So I like this player, and I've done so for quite a while. Flying westwards to Portugal. I already mentioned Marcus Levet when it came to the FIBA Europe Cup qualifiers, and he was also the MVP of the Super Taça, the Portuguese version of the Super Cup. Where Sporting managed to beat local rivals, Lisbon rivals, Benfica, and Lovett had 22 points. And I watched this game, and he was key down the stretch in crunch time. He had a couple of layups. I think one was an and one, and the other one was tough layup. He looks like a great addition. He was in Portugal before. He was one of the leading scorers with Ovarense, and now he's back in that league, of course, with a team with much bigger ambitions, and he's a good scoring point guard, I would say. Played his college ball at St. John's, and I think he will be in the race for league MVP later on. The Russian VTB League Super Cup was a 6-team tournament, featured 4 teams from Russia and 2 from Serbia. I think we can all figure out why it was teams from Serbia, because right now they might have trouble to attract teams from other countries. Just focusing on the basketball for now, Thomas Wimbush got MVP and had great performances for Zenit St. Petersburg. D2 alum. I always point this out because, as people might have guessed by now, I'm a big D2 guy, D2 on the D2 bandwagon. Played his college ball at Fairmont State, lefty combo forward, absolute high flyer, terrific athlete, but is also dangerous from the perimeter, can face up, good first step. So he will definitely be an intriguing signing for Zenit. Looked good in that tournament. And NBA prospect, I don't know, former NBA prospect maybe even, because at born in 2001, he's almost old, which is ridiculous. But which is reality. He's been with Mega from Serbia for 3 years now. Malcolm Casalon, French wing, lefty, and he looked terrific in this tournament. So maybe it's his year. Maybe he can put it all together now. He looked great at creating offense. He can finish left and right. It's very athletic. Showed deep range, although his shot has been inconsistent in the past. But maybe it's his year where he puts it all together. Yeah, and we cannot mention the VTB League situation without at least hinting at what is happening politically. The U.S. Embassy called for U.S. citizens to leave the country immediately. So I don't know what this means for the players. I read that there are about 30 American players currently in Russia, in VTB League and in Super League Russia, which is the second division. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But yeah, for now, as we are a basketball podcast, just focusing on the basketball. Sweden, the SBL, there are two rounds in the books already. And a couple of noteworthy performances. Of course, the one standing out is the 46-point performance by Gustav Hansson for Umea. I watched just the clips of him scoring, and yeah, he was just on fire. I mean, he's a guard who can score, like a three-level scoring guard, and he just hit them from everywhere. But on the other hand, the opposition also guarded him quite naively. I mean, if a guy's making like six threes in a row, then maybe I don't go under on screens anymore. And they continuously did that, even though he was lighting them up. I watched a buzzer beater in a game for Köping or Schöping. I'm not too sure how to pronounce that, but it was Juwon Gray, a big man out of Towson, and he hit the mid-range buzzer beater. So that was nice to see. And the team I want to mention that is currently 2-0, BC Luleå. They have some interesting imports. You have combo forward Brandon Bailey, played collegiately at Marquette and had a stint, cup of coffee in the G League. He looks like a smooth shooting type of forward. You have Ladarian Griffin, who I've been high on for quite a while. Came out of St. Bonaventure, not too sure, but it's definitely the Bonnies. And he's one of the better defensive players all around Europe, I would say. He has great wingspan, great defensive tools, super athletic. He can guard positions 1 through 4, I would say. And offensively, he's not super well-rounded, but he's just an athlete. And yeah, interesting player. And also Marcus Evans, ex-VCU combo guard, was in Great Britain last year in BBL, player that I saw live in Las Vegas this summer at his agency's free agent camp. And I like him. I like him. He's not been shooting the ball very well so far in this season, but this is surely going to come. And has a good body. I would say he's a real combo. So he's a player that I enjoy watching. Moving on to the southeast of Europe, to Turkey. So far, there was the Super Cup. Fenerbahce lost to Efes, but I only watched very brief highlights of that game, so I can't really comment much on that one. But I followed the TBF Cup, in which the TBL teams, so the teams from the second division, participate in. And yeah, there were two imports, rookie players or first-year players from the United States that really caught my attention, or they had it already during their collegiate careers, but they seem to be making a great transition to the pros. And they both play for Fenerbahce's farm team. And the farm team just moved up to TBL, so they are playing in second league now. And they signed two American players, Marion Jackson from Arizona State, played at Toledo before that and then transferred for his graduate year. Combo guards, quick, showed some ability to play in the clutch in this tournament because he often came alive in the fourth quarter. He's a good one, but even better, in my opinion, was DeShawn Schwartz. Played a couple of years at Colorado, then transferred to George Mason. And lefty combo forward, can also finish with the right hand. Very, very, very adept at three-point shooting. Yeah, he looked like an absolute player in these couple of games that I saw. Of course, you have to be careful about the level of competition, but still, Schwartz is going to be a guy who will move up the ranks. I'm pretty sure. Both also feature in our Scoutery database. So if you want to look them up in more detail, feel free to take a look at Scoutery.pro and subscribe in the event you want to have the full information on those guys. The last league that we're going to mention before I let you go is BBL Great Britain. Some general news around the league. There's a new spirit around the league, it seems. There's the investment from 777 Partners, investment firm from the United States. And it starts to show just small details. You have, for example, like condensed games on the YouTube channel now. You can watch all the games on YouTube live. The social media has become a lot more, a lot better in overall, but also a lot more, I don't know, a lot more driven, I would say. There's many good signs when it comes to BBL UK. The team that we cooperate with in Great Britain, the team that was formerly known as the Glasgow Rocks, they had an ownership change, a very exciting one. They are now the Caledonia Gladiators, and I think things are moving in the right direction there because they want to provide men's basketball and women's basketball on a on the same level basically, and with the same name, same brand. So I think that's a great move. Also exciting news about a potential arena that they are looking to build. So, but it's not only Caledonia. It's around the league. I think things are looking up in Great Britain. When it comes to the on-field product, it's still wild. It's still frenetic. It's still up and down, but it's also like highly entertaining. We had some standout performances by some BBL veterans, Dirk Williams, who switched teams, who's now a Manchester Giant. He had a big game. Mike Miller, who's in his second year in Great Britain, had 18, 15, and 8 for Bristol Flyers. Kipper Nichols was good with Sheffield. I think he's in his third season there. Antonio Williams, who came back to Plymouth. So these examples show that it just makes sense to limit the player turnover, the fluctuation, and to maybe try to bring back guys, which of course will become more likely with increasing budgets. And you also had some new faces that had outstanding games. Saeed Nelson, a point guard that I still remember when he was with Heidelberg in Pro A Germany. He had a monster performance for Sheffield. And two of the quality signings for London Lions, Sam Decker, Kostas Koufos. I mean, they all already showed that with their high-level European experience, they will be able to dominate. That was Scoutery's European Basketball Roundup. I hope you enjoy the format. Please let us know. And if you don't, please let us know as well, because that's also valuable feedback. We are planning on bringing on guests in the future, coaches, players, maybe GMs, scouts, media people, so that you don't have to listen to my voice all the time. We hope that you will tune in again. This time I will not be making any promises when it comes to the regularity of these episodes. I guess I'll just let you know when the next one is out there. So have a good one and keep watching basketball.